Welcome to the Kumbaya Podcast, where Amanda and Rebecca, twin sisters, naturally minded home birth mamas, and co-founders of Progressive Pregnancy. We're on a mission to help you have a more empowered entrance into motherhood. We'll bring awareness and offer support surrounding pregnancy, childbirth, and the postpartum journey. As a holistic pelvic floor physical therapist, I'll bring valuable insights and guidance during this critical time for your pelvic floor. We'll also bring on other holistic providers, experts, and guests to help you make this huge life transition easier. To learn more, head over to progressivepregnancy.com, or to see show notes and past episodes, visit kumbayalpodcast.com. Are you hoping to have a home birth or natural birth? If so, check out Progressive Pregnancy. It's our comprehensive online program with monthly coaching calls that'll help you prepare your body, mind, and home for childbirth. All three of our children were born at home, and what we teach helped me go from a 30-hour labor with my first child to a 5-hour and much smoother labor with my second child. In my pelvic physical therapy practice, I've helped hundreds of women have smoother childbirths, no matter where they gave birth, and I'd love to share this knowledge with you. To learn more and get access, go to progressivepregnancy.com. Hello, welcome back to the Kumbaya Podcast. I'm Amanda Shipley, and I have some really exciting news to share. My sister, my identical twin sister, Rebecca, is going to be joining me as co-host going forward, and we are really happy to be sharing with you more birth-related content as we move forward with Kumbaya. So to kick that off, we would like to share with you in this episode the key things that we learned from our collective 3 home births that we've had between the two of us, and finish off sharing with you, giving you a little insight into why we created our online program called Progressive Pregnancy. So I will let you take it away, Rebecca. Thanks so much, Amanda. It's so great to join you in here. So it's really fun. So my home birth was 11 years ago. So it's been a little bit of time. But one of the big things I learned looking back on the experience is that you really want to make sure that you pick a home birth midwife that you not only feel really supported by, but you connect with and feel seen by as well, not just supported. My story was, we chose a home birth midwife who was very experienced. She had 1,400 births under her belt. And so,
which is a lot, if you don't know.
A lot.
A lot.
I really thought that was what I wanted. I wanted someone to really make me feel confident and secure that I could get through this process successfully. But what we didn't have was a connection with her. And I didn't feel like not that she didn't like me or I didn't like her. It was wonderful. I just, I think she was probably burnt out on first-time moms. And I remember at one point I asked her, how will I know that I'm in labor? And she kind of scoffed at me and it was very dismissive. She was like, oh, you'll know. And didn't answer my question.
That's awful.
Yeah, it was. And so I felt like I almost couldn't ask questions. And I had to, I just didn't feel 100% supported by her, even though I know technically she was amazing and I did get the home birth I wanted. And the funny story for me was that I didn't know when I went into labor. And
what she did there was really shut you down and shut down any kind of open dialogue. What she could have said, and, I think should have said, was, hey, if you're in doubt, if you start thinking or feeling something that you wonder if this could be early labor, call me, text me, reach out to me, and I'm here for you. And that did not happen. And what she did was really, shut you down.
It totally did. And so I don't know if I should go into the whole story here, but it's actually pretty funny.
This is a good part. I would highlight it.
So I was getting ready for my last day at work and had this one last training day. I had to go in. I was going to be off the next week. I was a week before. I was at 39 weeks exactly. And the night before that last day, so it was Thursday night, I woke up twice in the middle of the night, had to go to the bathroom, like number 2. And I was like, well, that's odd. Did I eat something weird? That's so weird.
didn't think that my body is trying to clean house before baby comes. So I was like, okay, well, that's where I must have ate something. And I get up the next morning and I'm getting ready for work and I'm having times where I have to like pause and breathe. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. And I'm just getting ready. And at one point,
had you had any Braxton Hicks, like any abdominal tightening up until that point?
I had a lot of back pressure the week before that week, going to that week. I was able to work from home Tuesday through Thursday. So I was sitting on the birth ball pretty much all day. So I was able to move. And I remember my back just feeling very achy all week. And then I woke up twice in the night on Thursday. Friday morning, I was getting ready for work. And at some point, I asked my husband, I was like, do you think you can drive me to work today? Which should have been an indication that maybe I need to stay home if I need to have someone drive me to work. But I just, it's one last day. I can do it. One last day. And so
keep your eye on the prize. I've got
it. So I was like, sure, this is nothing. This is, you know, whatever. And so he drove me into work. And as we're driving to work, every stoplight or stop sign pretty much we got through, I was like, well, maybe you can stay come back at 3 o'clock. Don't wait till 5. Or maybe at lunch. Maybe just come pick me up at lunch. Why don't you go get a coffee? And then just kind of like, just don't like stay in the area. By the time we got to the parking lot, I was like, don't leave. Just stay right here. I have to tell him I had to go home. I opened the door to go into our office and my water breaks. I'm like, I think I just peed myself. So I literally had to go to the bathroom, get myself cleaned up. I'll tell my boss, I think I'm having this baby. My water just broke. So I literally get in there, turn around, drive all the way back home. And it was so uncomfortable being in the car, going through contractions. And at that point,
And that's like a bonus of having a home birth, right? You don't have to worry about when to leave for the hospital. You don't have to worry about being in a car or sitting in traffic or bumping along on the road when you're dealing with contractions. And you had to.
Yes. So, it's so silly to look back on and be like, but that was impactful for me to say, I didn't know I was in labor. And if I had just had a midwife or someone I felt like I could ask a question to and wasn't dismissed or scoffed off, that it would have changed that day for me and made probably a little bit more comfortable.
That's true. Because maybe that first sensation, you would have felt that you could have texted her, even just a little question like that. But really the subconscious message you got from her was, don't bother me until it's big, until, you know.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's my number one, was really find someone who supports you, but you also connect with and you feel like you can ask questions too. My second big takeaway was, it's important to be very mindful of what you consume and what information you take in during your pregnancy. I had no idea how susceptible I would be to the birth stories I heard and my friends' experiences and everybody around me and what I heard, little things like, and it really impacted me. Like a story about that was after I gave birth. I had talked to some mom friends before, who I think gave birth at a birth center before I went into labor. And she had said how she wasn't able to go to the bathroom after. And so they had to catheterize her so she could go pee. And for some reason, that stuck in my head. I was like, I do not want to be catheterized. I do not want to be catheterized. So after I had my baby, I remember sitting on the toilet for like 30 minutes. I was probably in a little bit of shock too. Like, oh my God, I just had a baby. What is going on? But I remember sitting on the toilet and the midwives walking by me in the bathroom door saying, are you okay? And I was just like, I didn't say anything to them. So they probably didn't know what was going on in my head. But in my head, I was thinking, I do not want to be catheterized. I'm going to sit here until I have to go pee. Well, I didn't have to go pee. They never had to catheterize me. It was not an issue. They weren't concerned about it. But from number one, I didn't have a team I was necessarily comfortable asking questions to. And then I had this story of like, oh my gosh, my friend had to be catheterized. I'm going to have to be catheterized. So I have to protect against that. It's those things. Like,
that could have totally been avoided. You could have been holding your baby and breastfeeding. Right. And
yes, we did the initial skin to skin when I was still in the birth pool. I had a water birth. And so I had that skin to skin time, but that time of me sitting on the toilet, it's like, I didn't need to do that.
You didn't need to have that spent there.
Right? So I think as moms, we are very susceptible. We are very, like, we take in a lot of information and you don't realize what little things are going to stick in your head and impact your birth. So it's really important that you're very protective of what you consume from media, from friends, from even well-mentioned people. I did not tell a lot of people I was having a home birth because I did not want
I did not want well-intended, uneducated people to fill my head with fear or concerns, things like that. So that's my number two. My number three is I wish I had set up my birth team and more people for like before the baby was born. And the big one for me was a lactation consultant, because I had no idea how difficult it would be for me to establish my milk supply after the baby came. And I remember my midwife when I was calling her saying, my baby keeps waking up at like 4 a.m. and she's just inconsolable, whatever that word is.
Yeah.
And she was just crying. Well, she had like gotten me dry, like she's taken all the milk that I had, and she was still hungry. And it was always at like 3 or 4 a.m. and it just frazzled me to no end. And my midwife's suggestion was, you just need to relax. Just relax. I'm like, that doesn't help an anxious new mom. Having someone who's knowledgeable. So I think I ended up waiting five days before we went in to see the pediatrician. And at that point, they're like, she's not gaining enough weight. We need to supplement with formula. And I was able to see the lactation consultant at the pediatrician's. And I was able to get in touch with a lactation consultant who would come to my home and had met with me. But it was just like I ended up supplementing. It took me 4 months for me to build up my milk supply before I could exclusively breastfeed. And we had a wonderful breastfeeding experience after that. She breastfed for a long time, but it was really stressful. And
a long time, like years. So please hear that. Yeah. Like, you can have a lot of issues in the beginning and still have a really successful, very long breastfeeding journey.
Absolutely. Where I was not supplementing, I had to supplement for about 4 months with formula, which if I had known, you know, I probably would have tried to find, you know, like another mom who had extra milk or something else like that. But at that point, I was just so frazzled. I was like, I'm getting whatever they recommend. And the woman at the pediatrician's recommended a formula. So I went with that. But if I had made a relationship with a lactation consultant before I gave birth, I would have already had that relationship. I'd already gone in with more knowledge and more awareness. So that was a big one.
You'd
for
have
me.
Support day two, day one.
Yes.
Day, yeah, I mean, really, truly.
She could have come over right after the baby was born. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are my three big takeaways.
Those are huge. And I think they're so meaningful. So I really appreciate you sharing that with everyone, because these are things I hear a lot in my sessions with people when I work with people and post birth. And you just can only hear it so many times when you want to. And then you have that experience yourself and you're like, oh, yes, I've got to share this.
So what are yours? What would you say your top three are?
Yeah. So I was kind of blindsided with my birth, I'll be honest with you. So, and I do want to say, sorry, just interject that we are going to have our full birth stories on our website. So we're just kind of going through the highlights and our big takeaways right now. But if you're interested to hear more details, then we'll have that on progressivepregnancy.com. So, but yeah, so my first one is that really what I learned in the traditional pelvic PT model of how to help women prepare for birth is incomplete. I mean, that's really the awareness that I got after I had my first baby. We were taught, and I remember having this feeling, this, I don't know what to call it, but just, yeah, this influence of like, okay, you're training for birth. Birth equals a marathon. If you're in labor, you're training for a marathon, or you're going to be in labor, I should say. And we overemphasize strength. And I think that can be confused that, you know, strength means you're going to prevent pelvic floor dysfunction, you're not going to have any issues, you're just going to make it through birth, and then you're going to still have some strength left, so you're not going to be this like gaping hole and all weak and peeing on yourself after you give birth, right? And so when I prepared my body for my first birth, I really literally thought, okay, this is a marathon. Now, mind you, I played soccer until I went only once a week, but still competitive, full field, 45 minute halves soccer until I was 20 weeks along. And I was just kind of getting a little bump and I thought, oh, I don't want to get hit or I don't want to fall or hurt the baby. So I stopped playing. So I was really in good shape and strong. And that's how I still prepared, was squats 3 times a day, pelvic tilts, all the physical preparation, none of the mental preparation. And so that's where I really feel it is incomplete and it worse, like misleading, because I do think some people think that your pelvic floor muscles push the baby out. They need to be strong to actually help birth be productive or successful. And that's just wrong. Our pelvic floor muscles just have to get out of the way. Your uuterus is doing all the work to push that baby down and out. So that's with
huge.
It's huge. Yeah. So
no one
and
knows
again,
that. No one,
and someone yeah. may not be overtly saying that, but I think we're still, this is the message we're getting, that we have to be strong in labor to make it through and still be ourselves and have our body on the other side. And truly, if you think about a muscle that is too strong or even too short and too tight, it's just not going to be as giving. Now you have hormones, don't worry, that baby can still come out even if you don't prepare, but why not help it prepare? I mean, and I'm a pelvic PT. I still did work with my pelvic floor. So I did prepare that part of my body, which I think the vast majority of people don't do, but I did not prepare my mindset. So that goes into my second point that I really learned was, oh my gosh, mindset matters. Mindset makes a huge difference. And if you had asked me going into my first birth, are you scared? Are you nervous? I remember before getting pregnant thinking in anticipation, oh, there's going to be this point in my pregnancy where I'm going to feel like trapped or claustrophobic, or at some point like where my back is up against the wall and oh shit, this thing's got to come out, right? Like, and I never had that moment. I really never allowed myself to even think about it or process it or be in touch with those emotions. And let's be real, everyone is a little scared of birth, especially your first time. That's normal. It shouldn't be this huge fear. And what I really think what we can use this to our knowledge to our advantage is, like, you need to process it. You need to get in touch with, oh yeah, I am a little afraid of the unknown or the lack of control. And I can prepare all I want and things still may go sideways. Right. Like, that's a little nerve-wracking for anyone. But if you don't lean into that and prepare for that and really get in touch with those feelings like I did, I mean, I was totally blindsided. So if you ask me how I felt going into my first labor, I literally felt so excited. That's the only thing that I thought. I felt like, oh my gosh, I have been working with pregnant and postpartum women all these years, and now I actually get to experience it myself.
And I had a 7-hour labor.
Yeah.
So my labor was fast. I mean, my water broke at 7 a.m. and my baby was born at 2 p.m. Right. that day. So it was like you had that expectation going
so
in.
So I literally had that expectation.
My sister can do it.
I'm an identical twin. My cells are the same as your cells, right? Like, my tissues are the same as yours. So cool. I've got this. Like, you just rocked a 7-hour labor. I know what I'm doing. Like, win-win. And then I remember the sensations of labor came, and they came kind of fast. My baby was 12 days late, I think, because I was holding her in subconsciously. I was not ready for that thing to come out, that thing, that gorgeous baby. But she, and so, yeah, so she was very late and totally just lost my train of thought. Sorry.
You were really confident going into it. You were confident you were ready. And then when you started feeling the sensations
yes,
of labor.
That's right. The sensations of labor, I really thought consciously in my head, how can something not be wrong? I was happy. I was having my home birth, but something is wrong. This baby's like stuck, or why is this so intense? Like, how can this be so intense and something not be wrong? So it really, it was just an eye-opening experience. I had a 30-hour labor. I had my home birth, but it was arduous. And by the end of it, you know, really 2 hours of pushing, 2 hours, I was not prepared. I mentally did not even get the memo that you need to prepare your mind, which is so silly to think that, like, now I get that connection and I really teach it with my patients. And I've taught it before, but it hits home when you feel it in your body that your pelvic floor responds to your thoughts. So just your thinking, your pelvic floor is going to be tight. It's going to be, so all this anxiety or stress or fear leading up to birth, again, which I didn't even know that I had, clearly it affects your pelvic floor, and your pelvic floor affects your birth, and your birth affects your pelvic floor. So you really need to work on your mindset, because that will absolutely help your pelvic floor function better and help your labor go smoother. And it will be much better. And I can speak to that because my second daughter, when I was pregnant with her, in the years leading up to that, I was researching the heck out of things. I was taking all the professional courses and really trying to take courses from people who weren't just PTs and weren't in my sphere. And I prepared totally differently for my second baby. And that's, you know, spoiler alert, what we put into progressive pregnancies, the way I prepared myself and where I prepare my patients now. And I got a totally different experience. So I can say with my body and my tissues that labor did not have to hurt that much, right? And it was less than a quarter of the intensity that I felt the first time around. It was still labor. It was still work. But it was 5 hours of active labor instead of 30 and 45 minutes of pushing instead of two. So it was a profound difference just by preparing my mind as well as my body. And then number three is really thinking that, at least for me, if your birth stalls, then lean into your team, let your team support you, let yourself receive help, right? And so I was very crunchy and I was very like, I can do this. I am woman, hear me roar, and I don't need any cervical checks. And for some reason, I don't know why, I wasn't afraid of them. I just did not want to have a cervical check. I thought, if I'm this woman having this baby in a woods, like, you know, this is, I don't need to have someone check my cervix. And so I kind of hung to that. And then when things stalled and things were taking longer, they wanted to support me in that way and say, hey, let's just like feel, let's look and see what we can, let's get some more information about the situation. And I said, no, no, just give me more time. Meanwhile, I'm having back labor. Meanwhile, I am like, my whole team is like falling asleep and I can't sleep. So it was awful. It was awful. So finally the next morning, they didn't give me a choice. At some point, they put their foot down and said, okay, we got to do this or we're transferring. Like, that's it. You know, we've got to check. And lo and behold, then we found I had a cervical lip. So if I had let them, and I think about this now after I've processed it, you know, if I had let them support me and I had trusted them to give me that guidance, they were on board with me and as minimal intervention as possible, right? And so I knew that. So I should have known if they're asking to do that, it was really warranted and it was needed. And I regret that I didn't let them do that much, much sooner, because I could have probably saved, oh gosh, many hours.
A lot of time. Well, you probably heard, back to my points of being susceptible, you probably heard a horror story about a woman.
Oh, I've heard many horror.
This her is membrane stripped in the hospital or something where she was put into labor early when she didn't want to because there was an intervention that happened. And that stuck in your head and you forget, oh, wait, I have a team I believe in, I feel connected with and is supporting me.
Totally supportive.
And so I don't, it's okay. It's okay to let them do, they're not going to do.
Well, this is why I had the 30-hour labor and you had the 7-hour labor, because I was in my head. I have seen so much trauma. I have worked with so many women. Just
right. You
bad
had that
things
negative.
Can happen,
I didn't
right?
have any, I had no.
You had no understanding of like what bad things can happen.
I didn't even know birth, when right? I was pregnant. I didn't know in the end you're supposed to kind of like make sure the baby's kicking every day or doing something. I had no, like, she probably was, but I wasn't. Like, I remember another mom after I had my baby was like, oh, my baby's kicking and this. And I'm like, oh, you're paying attention
you're
to that?
Counting
like,
your kicks?
Yeah, what? You're counting like, your kicks. Like, I had no idea. I didn't know. And then you hear the story. I'm like, I'm glad I didn't know that, because that probably would have been stuck in my head. Did she kick today? Has she done this? Or, you know. Like,
right. More anxiety.
Sometimes, produces. Yeah. It's yeah. Works against you.
So that in so that really, yeah, that could have been a lot of hours shaved off my time. But
yeah. So that kind of leads us into why we created Progressive Pregnancy. Because so hearing these experiences, one of the first reasons that we looked at creating this program was we wanted to, there isn't enough support for home birth. Ultimately, we want to provide more support for home birth and have the support that, or offer the support that we wish we had when we were going through our home birth journey. And the support from other like-minded moms and professionals, a safe space to ask questions and to get more information and to, you know, be supported.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And truly, after having this knowledge that I gained with my own pregnancy, with my own body, and then working with so many people over the years, I really want more people to have access to this care and more access to this knowledge than those that I can work with one-on-one here in Atlanta, Georgia, right? So if you live anywhere else, then you can have this information and run with it and have it help you. And truly, another passion that's close to my heart is prevention. And I have talked to so many people and they have told me, oh, I researched the heck out of home birth and or out of hospital birth. And I did all these crunchy things and I am so on the up and up. And like pelvic floor never came up in my research. So we are here to change that. Like the pelvic floor should absolutely come into the conversation when we are talking about labor and childbirth. Because like I said before, I will say it again, your pelvic floor affects your birth and your birth affects your pelvic floor. Now the kicker is you may not feel those effects until you're in your 40s or 50s. You may be well done having your kids. But I hear so literally almost daily that I wish someone had told me, or I wish I had found a pelvic PT after my first kid or after my second instead of after my fourth. And you can only hear that for so long and not want to do something about it, right? And so pelvic floor issues are huge quality of life issues. And like I said, you may not feel it in the moment. Of course you may, but it may happen when you hit perimenopause or menopause or just even later in life. And we'd love to prevent some of those issues. You know, we just don't talk about it enough. Pregnancy and postpartum is a hugely transformative time for your body and your pelvic floor. And if we look back, it's one of those life events, those life transitions that is the biggest, has the biggest impact on your pelvic floor.
Well, and in addition to, you touched on it, but there's like the difference between our three births is there was so much change and you learning a having, I feel like our three births, like your third birth, your second birth, our third together.
Yeah.
our collected. Third birth. Yeah. Your second child, it was the home birth that we both wish we had. Like for all of our experiences, it was amazing watching you go through that process. I was like, oh my gosh, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. It was smooth. It was, you know, wonderful. It was just an amazing, magical experience. And that is the culmination of what you, like, that is what we teach in, you teach in progressive pregnancy. It's how to prepare your body and how to have the home birth that you want. Because just because you want to have a natural childbirth or you want to have a home birth doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go that way. So what can you do during pregnancy to get the home birth that you want? And what you realize is that the way people are preparing is not the best way. You need all three. You need to prepare your mind, your body, and your pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are trying to help people so they can get the home birth that they want.
Right, exactly. And I think we just don't talk enough about, like you said, oh, your second birth was so amazing and beautiful. And it was. And I was still nervous going into that. And I was more in touch with the fact that I was nervous before that birth because I was doing more work on myself. But it also was the fact that, and I think we brush over this again with women, we just don't talk about these things. Like, people don't even share that they're afraid of the pain of childbirth or of the uncertainty or of the unknown or the lack of control. But even a second or subsequent birth, what my worry was in the moment was like, oh my gosh, what if I just recreate the same thing because it's what I know? Going from nothing to something was nervous, but going from something you don't want to then a totally different experience felt the same to me, right? Mm-hmm. I really was almost fearful of having the same birth again, even though it was great in and of its way. You know, I still had her at home. I did not want it to be that long and arduous and painful and really traumatic. I mean, I think I had PTSD after my first. Mm-hmm. I really remember every time I went to the bathroom, because that's where I spent the 2 hours of pushing, was on the toilet. It was the only place that my mind would relax enough and my body just knew, oh, I relax here. And that's where I had to push for 2 hours on the toilet. So pretty much every time I went to the bathroom for the next 2 weeks after my first daughter was born, I was having PTSD and I was having this internal turmoil of like, oh my gosh, we come from a big family. I didn't want her to be an only child, but like what right sane person would ever do that to themselves again? I'd have this like multiple times a day. Like, I can't do that again to myself. Like, what am I going to do? And then she's going to be an only child. Not that that's bad, but you know, it wasn't what we had thought, what we had wanted to create for our family. And it was just crazy. So, you know, we really believe that the more you know about your body, the better you can take care of yourself. And then this whole journey into motherhood, this whole life transition, it, you know, can be different. And so that is our hope with this program, is that we can help people get the outcome that they want, have the birth experience that they want, protect their pelvic floor for the future, and It's a win-win for everyone. A win for you, for your baby, for your bonding, for your family, for the world, when we all kind of start in a,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I would say that might be even be our, like, our seventh key takeaway from our births, or just from all the women I've talked to after their birth. Every woman you talk to after they've had a baby can tell you their birth story. Will remember how they felt when they were in labor, and were they supported? Were they not supported? Did it go the way they wanted? Did it not go the way they wanted? And we don't talk enough about, and we don't share enough how impactful actual childbirth is and the actual process of bringing your baby into this world. Everybody focuses on having a baby, being a mom, being a parent, and after the baby comes, but the process of getting the baby earthside is hugely impactful, and that's,
and it's diminished. It's like you have this cute pregnancy, you get to wear cute clothes and have your baby announcement and your gender reveal and all these cool things in your pregnancy, and then of course you're ready for your prize at the end and for when you have your baby and you can dress them up and just bond with them and be with them. But there's that, yeah, that birth,
that process really
is not talked about enough, right?
How you show up as a parent, how you show up as for your baby afterwards. It's like, how do you show up for yourself and getting yourself through that process and getting your baby through that process? It's just, it's amazing. So I think that's kind of, that would be our seventh takeaway from, it's important. Don't dismiss or don't try to rush over the childbirth aspect of your parenting journey, because it's really impactful going forward.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yay.
Well, I think that's good. That's what I had to say. I love having Rebecca on the podcast with me. This is going to be so much fun going forward.
Yeah. And if you'd love to check out Progressive Pregnancy, you can go to progressivepregnancy.com. We'll also have that linked.
And sign up for the newsletter.
Yes. Yeah,
join our wait list. We're going to be opening up again soon.
Sounds
We'd love
good.
To have you.
Thanks so much, everybody.
This content is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. Please discuss any questions you may have regarding your health or medical condition with your physician or a qualified healthcare professional. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests.